From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, March 10th. Coming up, we'll learn how high school students who speak multiple languages are getting the word out about vaccines. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A man once regarded as Illinois' most powerful politician made his first appearance in federal court yesterday to answer corruption charges. Dave McKinney has more.
Ex-Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan entered a not guilty plea during his arraignment on a 22-count racketeering and bribery indictment. It marks the beginning of the highest-profile corruption case Illinois has seen in more than a decade. The hearing was mostly procedural, and Madigan himself never actually spoke. Because of the pandemic, the 79-year-old ex-speaker was allowed to appear in court with his three defense lawyers via telephone. That spared him from the inglorious public walk that criminal defendants typically have to make to and from court through the Dirksen Federal Building lobby. Madigan's longtime confidant, Michael McLean, also entered a not guilty plea to additional charges. This is Dave McKinney.
Lawmakers are condemning anti-Semitic flyers anonymously distributed in Skokie and Chicago. The flyers, found in bags full of beans, show Jewish elected officials and law officers beneath a "Let's Go Brandon" header. The language is anti-Semitic and targets members of both state and federal government. State Senator Sarah Feigenholz is Jewish and quotes Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who spoke to a group he called the Jews of the World last week.
It is very important that millions of Jews around the world do not remain silent now. Nazism was born in silence. Never again means we won't be silent.
Feigenholz joins members of the General Assembly's Jewish Caucus to speak out against hate. They promised to form an anti-Semitism task force. Similar flyers were left across the University of Illinois campus in Champaign-Urbana in late February and again in Urbana earlier this month. A former U.S. ambassador to the former Soviet state of Georgia thinks Russian President Vladimir Putin will not use nuclear weapons. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Russian President Vladimir Putin announced almost 2 weeks ago that he was increasing the readiness levels of his nuclear forces. Ian Kelly has long been involved in diplomacy in former Soviet countries, and he was an ambassador during the Obama administration. Speaking on the 21st talk show, he said Putin is likely fear-mongering.
So he's homicidal but not suicidal, and he knows that if he uses a nuclear weapon, that's the end of him and the end of his regime.
Kelly said the U.S. should still treat Putin's threat seriously. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
So far, the U.S. has not escalated the alert level of its own nuclear forces. The IHSA boys' state basketball tournament returns to Champaign for the first time since 1995 later today. Fans will have an area team to cheer on at State Farm Center, the Monticello Sages. Monticello coach Kevin Roy says it will be exciting for his team to play on the same court where they watched University of Illinois games over the years.
Kind of a dream come true, but they're going to walk in and have been there before. So going to live probably some childhood dreams and get a step on the big court with the tradition of the Illini basketball and things that they've done through the history.
Monticello will face Rock Ridge in the Class 2A semifinals at 2:30 p.m. today. If the Sages win, they would face the winner of DePaul College Prep and Nashville in the championship game Saturday afternoon. The third-place game is tonight at 8:30. Still to come, we'll learn how high school students who speak multiple languages are getting the word out about COVID-19 vaccines. That story from Carter Barrett is coming up next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Some small towns in the Midwest are growing, due in part to an influx of new immigrants. That includes some who speak rare languages. Side Effects Public Media's Carter Barrett reports it takes some creativity to make vaccines accessible to those communities.
High school senior Miranda Sebastian speaks Chu. That's an indigenous Maya language, spoken by an estimated 90,000 people in Guatemala. Here in Chu, she describes the information she shared at a local COVID-19 vaccine clinic she helped out with last year in the southern Indiana town of Seymour. Sebastian also speaks Spanish. The school's ESL director, Ana De Gante, translated for her as we spoke.
De que es bueno que uno haya ido en esa cita, ya que quizás les haya ayudado más.
She said also it is very important to continue use masks because our health is very important, and it's very important to know that this is something serious and that we need to take care of others.
In Seymour, some people speak both Spanish and Chu, but others, like Sebastian's mom, only speak Chu. Seymour is a growing town of about 22,000. In recent years, the town has seen more people immigrating from Guatemala. Over the past decade, the percentage of Hispanic or Latino residents here more than doubled to about 1 in 4. So when it came time to set up for a vaccine clinic, De Gante recruited some of her Chu-speaking high school students to help translate. She says some of them want to work in healthcare in the future.
They feel so good to be able to help. One of the students, Fabiana, says, that feeling, Miss, like, oh, I helped them. You know, I think they feel proud. I think they feel like they can be really great resource for the community.
Bethany Doherty heads the local hospital's efforts to engage with the town's Hispanic community. She launched a task force in 2020, initially aimed at distributing COVID information.
And just ask, what can we do? What education can we provide? How do we provide it? How do we make it accessible, understandable?
So they used WhatsApp, paper flyers, and eventually video messages. Doherty says they worked closely with local churches in the school district.
I think it coming from a source that's familiar to them, but with the trustworthy information, you know, from a hospital, it carries more weight when it's coming from a family member or a close friend that you trust.
Yvette Vasquez is on the Seymour Task Force. She's lived here for over 20 years. In Honduras, she was a medical doctor, but she can't practice in the U.S. Still, she's trusted in her town and says misinformation on platforms like YouTube is a big problem.
YouTube is it's awful. It's good, but sometimes it's misinformation. A lot of misinformation. I think when you educate the person in the right way, they are more open to accept the vaccination.
Some critics say immigrant kids shouldn't be expected to translate health information for their families or communities. Yamile Molina is an assistant professor studying health disparities at the University of Illinois at Chicago.
You know, there's a lot of conversations around children of immigrants, right, or of refugee families who have this really interesting dynamic where they suddenly become the interpreter, right? Mm-hmm. That can be challenging, that can be impactful for families.
But Molina said it's a nuanced issue, and perfect shouldn't be the enemy of the good. Molina says best practices for outreach to minority communities include efforts like the ones being made in Seymour. And if high schoolers are willing to participate and have people checking in on them, it can be mutually beneficial. At last summer's clinics, hundreds of Seymour's Hispanic residents, including many Guatemalan immigrants, came for the vaccine. The task force is now evaluating the need for a booster clinic. I'm Carter Barrett, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a Midwest reporting collaboration focused on public health. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly cloudy skies today with a high of 42 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Maggie Strawn, Emily Hayes, and Carter Barrett. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.